the different tunnels and all the boundaries, but 8-9 verses before I even tell you anything about the story. Then we'll go from there, because I think we've got to have, instead of having the background first, we need to have some action, then back up and see how it got there. It says here, the sayings of King Lemuel, an oracle his mother taught him. O my son, O son of my womb, O son of my vows, do not spend your strength on women. Getting there yet, Ronnie?
No, where are we at?
I'm on 31:1. Proverbs 31:1. Well, come on, Norm. You heard it.
Looking at homes.
Do not spend your strength on women, your vigor on those who ruin kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, not for kings to drink wine, not for rulers to crave beer. At least they drink and forget what the law decrees. Deprive all the oppressed of their rights. Give beer to those who are perishing, wine to those who are in anguish. Let them drink and forget their poverty. Remember their misery no more. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and the needy. Now, normally, especially with a Old Testament writer whose names have been attached, or specifically with a New Testament writer such as Paul's letters, Peter's letters, John, etc., we know who the author is in the time period. We have, and the Bible scholars from way back have no agreement on this. They have suppositions. The first thing, because so much of the book of Proverbs, you say, well, it's got to be Solomon, because the book of Proverbs is primarily penned by Solomon. Well, that could be true, or it could just have been such good advice that those who compiled the Bible, I mean, they didn't say, I'm going to write the book of Proverbs. You start sitting down and writing. A lot of our, are any of you blog readers or blog writers? I don't even know where a blog is, but some of those people just start writing. There are some of them who have become very famous because they just start putting their thoughts down and their actions and what they see, and it gets on the national news, and they go in and they get paid whatever they get paid to talk to Fox or CBS or CNN or something like that. So it may have just been later when things were compiled together, put in the, notice that it is in the tail end. So the first thought is Solomon. Now, you kind of wonder, from what we've just read, particularly the first and second verse, sayings of King Lemuel, could have been a different name, pen writers, most famous person who wrote a book who did not use his name, Samuel Clemens, Mark Twain. So people did go under other names. The sayings of King Lemuel, an oracle his mother taught him. An oracle is a wise saying, is a writing, is a teaching from someone. In the ancient Greeks, they called their scholars their oracles, who get up and give speeches and all to encourage people. That tends to lean towards that Mama wrote this as she has given him advice. The second part will actually boast of that just a little bit. If it was Solomon, his mother was whom? Bathsheba, who had some experience with life herself, if you might catch all the way back to David and to the murder of her husband and all that kind of stuff. So she would have some advice. The things she would have seen through David, her husband, would have given her some high points and low points to talk about. So it could be Solomon. If it is, it definitely has to be the oracle written by his mother Bathsheba. Now, some others say that it could be actually a prince of another surrounding area. Because Israel, can you pop me up? Of course. That's what you're here for. Norm, sprint to the answer. He's always short, you know what I'm talking about. Just give me a good shot of Israel. I want the countries around Israel. It could have very been possible that Lemuel is actually a king of one of the other countries. that at that time was in a relationship with Israel, because it's very evident that the advice that's given, the way it's written, that the mother is a Jewess. There's no doubt that she's not a Palestinian, she's not Egyptian, she's definitely Jewish. And it may have been that, you know, she was the bride of one of the kings that maybe Solomon made a deal with, or something like that, giving one of the people there, maybe one of his own daughters, to be married, and would have had. You got me one? All right, pop. Yeah, that's what I want. That's good. Just blow it up a little bit, or a whole lot. Too much. I really don't want that one. Yeah, I need other countries. Try that one. Well, northern tribes. Oh, that's bad. We don't like the northern tribes. Give me this one. One you probably already had. See, right now we're seeing the different tribes of Israel: Reuben, Gad, and all right. But if you look around them, there's the Amorites, who are descendants of Abraham, who are the Moabites, descendants of Lot, which would be a DNA of Abraham by a cousin. Descendants of Edom, they descend of Abraham because of Ishmael. But all around this area, can you pop it? We're in Egypt in here. Pop it down. Can you hit me down? You can't. Well, I'll just see in the back of your mind, there are cities all the way up in, I'm getting, what do you call that thing I'm getting? Vertigo. Neptune, all up in here, though, is still Syria, the area of Lebanon. So there's a lot of areas that surround it. At periods of times, they would have been at peace with Israel, and a family exchange where it's possible. So if it is not Solomon, who's Lemuel, it's very possible a part foreigner with a Jewish mother. Now, she starts off from the start. Do any of y'all have a Jewish mother? Do you know a Jewish mother? Or a grandmother that's about part Jewish? They've got advice on everything. A lot of the comedy shows, you'll find out that those mothers pretty much are Jewish mothers when they start giving advice on it, telling them everything. Ray.
Everybody loves Ray.
Yeah. She was a typical Jewish mother. Totally, if you read her. My son of my womb, okay, that pretty much says my blood child, the son of my vows. I'm married to your father. Do not spend your strength on women. Are we doing all right, Ronnie? Don't spend a lot of time with bad women. Who was it that sang Honky Tonk Women? Do you remember that song? Huh?
Was it Waylon Jennings?
Waylon Jennings did not do Honky Tonk Women. Y'all don't remember that song? Y'all listened to country back when that came along in the 60s.
Wasn't it Hank Williams?
No, ma'am. This is rock and roll. Was it Stones?
Oh, yeah, Honky Tonk, yeah.
Well, Mom advises against Honky Tonk Women and the likes. Your vigor on those ruined kings. And there's a whole lot of people who have been brought down by marrying the wrong spouse. Bottom line, spoke to someone today, brought down by marrying the wrong spouse. Just life wasn't that way until I married that person. I found out they weren't all the sweet honey gum smiley face that they were when we was courting. We know a person over at the Murdoch Church. Married a guy, he courted her, he wined and dined her, he took her dancing, all kinds of stuff. The day they got married, oh, by the way, she hid the money. The day they got married, he sat in the chair and said, "You can wait on me." Well, what about all the stuff we did? Well, she said, "We were dating then. I don't have to be nice to you now."
Yeah. Will death do us part?
I think several times she thought about parting with him. But now that is a, if I mention the name, some of you would know it, so I'm not going to do it. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, not for kings to drink wine, because you're not in control. You need them in control. Now you can say, well, just a little sherry cordial here, or this or that and the other. It is alcohol. You get enough of that, it's going to do things to you. Oh, gosh, 55, 60 somewhere. Bottle of wine, fruit of the vine. When will you let me go?
Sober.
Get sober? Been there, huh? Oh, you know the song. I'm sorry. Now, but here's the issue. Do not crave beer. I didn't even know they had beer in the Bible until you go all the way back to Noah. Noah made beer and got drunk right after he got off the ship, or after Jesus Christ. So that is not anything new. It is very obviously that Mama said, there is a problem here when you do that. Crave beer. At least they drink and forget what the law decrees. I wonder how many times the judge has heard, well, I would have done that if I hadn't been drinking. You know? You have said that, Paula?
No, I know that.
Oh, okay, okay.
People that wouldn't have said that.
There you go. So they drink and forget what the law decrees. They lose their control of things. Stay away from it, Mama's saying. And they deprive all the oppressed of their rights. Even back, you realize that even back, now Solomon would have been about 950 B.C. So we're looking almost 3,000 years ago. They were concerned about those in need. Those oppressed, it says. Mm-hmm. Now, there was a king. And they had absolute power. But yet there was a concern from God of those who are in need. It says it right specifically there. Give beer to those who are perishing. That, you go into Hebrew, those are dying. Give those who are dying. Give wine to those who are in anguish. Let them drink themselves unconscious so they don't worry about it and fret anymore. The word also there can be depressed. Yes. Is another translation for that word. And wine to, and give them drink and let them forget their poverty. In the book Brave New World, they had a chemical that they produced called Soma, S-O-M-A. And they would give it to the people, the slaves, the underclass, to keep them in working condition so they would not complain about the circumstances. Until John the Savage. Anybody ever have to read that in junior and high school? If you, two books you could read today, and you're saying, good night. Brave New World, and of course, 1984. I don't know if those guys were on drugs or what, but they had a peyote or something. They were looking to the future a whole lot more than we'd ever think. And of course, we're doing this in 1967, 68. So, oh, that'll never happen. Animal Farm. Pick up Animal Farm if you want to have bad nightmares over it. Now, the ones they make on cartoons, that's funny, but that's... Be careful. Pay attention to what's going on. Let them drink, forget their poverty. Let them remember their misery no more. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. That's what one of the things that upsets me about our politicians, particularly those who can't admit that once a baby is out of the birth canal, it is a human being. Now, a couple of states are doing this, and listen for the hoorah. They're proposing first heartbeat law. When you can detect the very first heartbeat, it becomes a baby, a human child, and would receive protection. A guy ran a red light when he was quite drunk. Within the last week or so, came to trial. They charged him with killed the mother and killed the child. They have now charged him with only killing the mother because New York said it's not a child when it's unborn. Charles.
Toledo, Ohio, they just said that the Lake Erie is a human being.
Say that again, because I heard what you said and I can't believe they said it.
The city of Toledo, Ohio voted to make Lake Erie a human being so they can sue the farmers that are dumping the fertilizers in and the lawyers can get paid into the land. But you can't say a human being and a woman is a human being.
You can sit in a garage for a year, still doesn't make you a Chrysler.
Yeah.
I know, heard that one. Goodness, good.
Just about today.
Yeah, I'm
talking. And what? But you're from Pennsylvania, so you're just laughing at them, aren't you?
What's that?
So you're from Pennsylvania, so you're just laughing at them. One Ohio city wants to grant Lake Erie the same legal rights as humans. Well, that's what they're going to do. They're going to tax them too, probably. Get in the water, you have to pay a tax. Speak up and judge fairly, she says. Defend the rights of the poor and the needy. Do you know what brought about the end of slavery? Do not tell me the Emancipation Proclamation, because that was the semi-end result, was not what brought about. Do you know what brought about the end of slavery? You really do. You're just afraid to say it out loud. The pastors, the preachers, the teachers in England started campaigning against slavery. And it caught on there. It was really through the churches here in the States where it caught on and went. In those kind of situations, the churches were very active. I'll say the word suffrage act. I think the word suffer is a very funny word for there. But the suffrage act, the bringing the rights. I'm disagreeing myself. It's already been, it was a right, we just didn't accept it. Allowing women to vote was pushed by the churches. So the churches, even though they are splattered into 1,000 different names and subtitles and different groups, can come together and be active in these campaigns. The question I've got for you is, how many churches, one, believe these things are right or wrong, and two, are willing to take a stand for it? And the answer is less and less every day.
No, did you just hear St. Louis had a convention of the United Methodist Church? And they voted to keep the traditional church?
Did not. I knew that was coming up. I didn't know the vote was already taken.
The vote came in on Monday night. They brought it back to the churches that it is going to adhere to the traditionalist that the same-sex marriages is out. I mean, it's going to make a rip. Because there's already, I know of a minister in the Methodist Church that is a married homosexual, and that he is in the hierarchy of the Methodist Church from our hometown.
Well, same thing with the Presbyterian churches. You know, they had a big split about 6 or 8 years ago. I mean, building split. They congregation started for that very reason.
Yep. And it's going to do the same thing, but the. Conclave of the Methodist Church said we will stick with what the Bible says, that homosexuality is an abomination.
Well, then the next question is, Zach.
That's the good news. The bad news is that the vote was about 70, a spread of 70 votes out of 800 or so.
Was that close? 1% or so?
Yeah, it was not a terrifically lopsided vote.
That's why there's going to be a rift.
Oh, yeah. Well, let me give you a solution you'll probably hear. Let your conscience be your guide. And that's the worst thing you could do. Because a conscience can be misinformed very easily.
If it feels good, do it. That's what we had in the 70s.
Those of us can remember the 70s. So there, speak up and judge fairly. We're to be involved. And not to be afraid to be involved. Now, does that mean we should break the laws? No, absolutely not. Sorry.
Making a comparison here of the Methodists and the Presbyterians. I'm here because of the split in the Presbyterian Church. And I found that first, the global issue that the Methodists have just been going through was distracting enough. But then when you get down to the local church and you go through all of the necessary soul searching to determine if you're going to try to take that church out of the presbytery, and your leaders go ahead and pursue that,
and are not successful, and the presbytery takes over the church property, etc., 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 then you have an entire second level of interference. I found, frankly, that there was no way I could practice my faith in those circumstances. So 5 years ago, I came here.
Remember it well. And see, that's what a lot of... Well, we'll just go along. Now, Owen, I'm not going to hurt your feelings on purpose. But it's a state of fact that Owen is a member of the Church of Christ. Disciples of Christ. All right. In most of the country, Joe, you've been there, Peggy, you've been there in the ministry that long, there was a big split between the disciples. It happened about 1904 to 1918, somewhere there, and again back in the 50s, that the disciples and the Christian churches totally split apart over extreme liberalism. I know you. You do not go to a liberal church, nor do you buy into liberalism or the hierarchy of the hierarchy of the disciples don't believe in the virgin birth. They don't believe in miracles. Most of them don't believe in salvation. And it's what we call a...
what do they believe?
Social gospel. That's the word I want. Now, your church isn't that way. I know better. But there are churches all over Lexington that are disciples. So our groups, we were called the splitters. We left them and started the churches that most of us are familiar with. If you're familiar... I'm going to break a bubble right here. There is no such group as the First Christian Church. That is our title. Now, most, but not all, First Christian churches have a fairly strong conservative belief. But it's not like being a disciple or Church of Christ or non-instrumental. It's different. And a lot of the conservative churches left when the splits happened again in 1918 and again in the 50s, and started what we call the independents. Now, Tennessee, you were Holiness, weren't you, Denise?
I was from Holiness.
Jeff, where were you from?
I grew up in a Christian church in Upper East Tennessee. What we refer to as the Christian church was known as the Church of Christ, even though it was instrumental.
Yeah.
A lot of those churches now, they've changed their names to Christian church, but there's still a lot of them and that was kind of the bedrock. East Tennessee, you get up into Elizabeth and those areas, the Church of Christ, they were on every street corner like the Baptist church in the South.
Yeah. A lot of them were small. Then you got the big First Christian downtown Johnson City too, but so there was, and our people, because I mean, I actually went to church that voted. They actually voted in the congregation to go disciple or go independent, and we just left.
But they were still non-denominational.
Yes. And I personally consider myself and our congregation a non-denominational church. We have no organization the week after the meeting. We have no organization that controls us from outside. We are autonomous. Autonomous? That word. So it's going to get worse. Now then you got two choices. Give in to get along, and it doesn't matter what the others believe, as long as you're peaceful and love each other, and can everybody be happy? What is it, Rodney King? Can everybody get along? Type of thing, or stand for your beliefs, like Cy had to, like our people had to. That's what you got to decide. It's going to be worse, folks. I'm the giver of gloom. If you're doomed, or actually the promise of prosperity, probably, because that's the wheat from the chaff type of a thing. And the people will tell you, quote, it doesn't matter what I believe as long as we love God.
What?
Amen. Well, that's a contradiction, because if you love me, you will obey my commandments. Amen. That's red letter King James right there.
Don't start on King James today. We do not have enough time to go to King James. So, speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and needy. We are to be responsible for those who need help. And that's why we do missions. And that's why we do hand-ups and help people. It's right there. It's nothing new. Salvation Army did not invent helping people. Jesus did. And it was prior to him even. All right, here we go. And we will not get through this today. And she goes on to write. Now, she's introduced it. We go back to verse 3. Go back to verse 3. Okay. Do not spend your strength on women, your vigor on those who run kings. All right. Go to verse 10. A wife of noble character who can find. So there's your option. Find a good woman. You may have to search a little harder. She's worth far more than rubies. Rubies were considered almost a monetary thing. Jewels back in those days were monetary. They did not have paper dollar bills. They would deal in valuable things, gold coins, bars of gold, silver earrings and all. That's what became so popular with the earrings. It was actually you carrying, it was your bank and those type of things. So they're worth far more than rubies. You know what the number one currency in America prior to the Revolutionary War was?
What?
Particularly on the East Coast? Anybody want to guess? Tobacco. You traded in pounds of tobacco. In Holland at one time, it was the bulbs, the tulip bulbs. So it's not always been coins. It's not always been paper money or script, I guess as we call it. So she says, he's far more worth than rubies. Her husband, Mama says, has full confidence in her and likes nothing of value. Now, I'm going to have to say an inflammatory statement here, and I'm sorry if I offend you, but I firmly believe this. The women's movement has destroyed ladyhood. Because women are not respected today like they were 50 or 100 years ago. Now, they have more legal rights, I'll grant that, which should have happened. But are they better off? Ladies, show of hands, excluding your husband, boyfriend, a male friend, how many of you have had somebody open the door in front of you in the last 5 days a week? One, two, three, four, five out of 20. See, in the old days, it should have been everybody. The man should have let the woman go through first. Sir Walter Raleigh laying the coat down in the mud puddle, well, that's a little over and above, but yet, do we treat women as dignified as they should be? Charles.
Women want to be treated as equal.
Well, equal in what, though, Chucky?
But that's different.
Men don't yeah, but my sister-in-law over here from the northern part of the country says I see different from manners. Do we have, or do we even teach kids manners anymore? Maybe that would be the first question. When I taught school, I would call a preschooler, a first grader, ma'am or sir. And some of you go, don't call me ma'am, don't call me. My grandmother would have smacked me upside the head with a rolling pin if I had not been respectful to an elder. Now that's not mean I'm saying you're an elder, I'm just saying that's what we do. Connie.
My grandkids even, my son and daughter will tell my grandkids, say, yes sir, yes ma'am,
Well, you taught them well, didn't you?
Not me, my son, well, we can help, but my son-in-law, my daughter-in-law, and my son did. But you don't hear that anymore.
No.
You taught your son, though.
That's you taught your son the Amen Chorus set up here.
That's a
Joe, are you voting back here?
There was a women's movement called the Temperance.
Women's Temperance League. United Christian Temperance League, it was once called. Who was very active against alcohol, and then they got mixed in with the suffragettes, and they lost the power, and the suffragettes actually gained the power. Then World War I came along, and they went from being anti-war to pro-war because they knew it would give them strength. Yeah, but the United Christian Temperance League was that way. Molly Hatchet was what she was called. They'd run around with crack old beer and whiskey with an axe years ago. Denise.
Now we have three. So you have male, female, and whatever, X or whatever.
Now let me disagree with you. Yahoo now lists 56 different genders.
Right.
56 different genders.
Does that include Lake Erie?
Has it decided yet which one it is? Jeff, that was a good one. I have to remember that. I would say something about it has ups and downs, so it may be, we're not going anywhere with that at all. He says her husband has full confidence in her. Now, okay, men, have we so is it as much our fault that the women aren't treated like the princess? That we've tried to make the brought the women down equal to us. Maybe they're not treated well enough that we don't hold them in high esteem.
But to defend the male gender, when he came along in the 70s and the 80s and the guys were still trying to be gentlemen, I can do it myself. I don't need you. I don't need somebody to open the door. And so they kind of got beaten down.
That's when you just trip them as they go in. That doesn't, you know, just because somebody tells you I don't want you to be nice to me does not mean you should not be nice to them. You can still show that you're a gentleman or a reasonable person, a mannerly person.
But I'm saying over the generation,
yeah,
they've been, okay, fine, I'll let you open the door, I'll let you change the light bulb, I'll let you take out the trash,
I'll let you kill babies, I'll let you do everything because I've wore you down. See, why give in?
It's my right, I do whatever I want. And so, yeah, I'm not saying that the guys are always at fault.
Yeah, they are. They give in.
To keep peace.
If you give in to evil, then you become evil. If you give in to less manners and stuff, you become that way. Chuck.
I believe that the women have helped create this. My grandson goes to college in Oklahoma where the manners are well and everybody's pretty much respected. He says you cannot and should not open a door to a woman on campus. They will chew you out for it. I don't need this. I don't want you to open the door for me. And I said, well, you're supposed to open it for me every time you're around.
Once, right? You go both ways, too. I'm going to open a door for a man if I'm there first. I'm not going to slam a door in his face.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. You know, it goes both ways, but I think it's like I said, just manners. You're just not.
Miss Mary, what would you say? Is that what?
Isn't it being independent? I mean, what happens if you get divorced or your husband dies, or and then you have to take care of yourself? You have to change your own life. You have to.
I have never, unless it's a senior citizen, somebody in a crutch or a walker, wheelchair, opened the door because I felt sorry for him. I did it because it's the mannerly thing to do. Doesn't mean that woman couldn't open her own door in a situation where she's got a baby on each hip and the dog's running circles and telephone's ringing and she's trying to figure out what Dr. Phil's saying. She may have to do it all by herself. Denise.
Rick has the answer. He said the government's to put out an edict that all doors must go. Cannot have any doors.
Well, that's a start. Throw them in Lake Michigan. Erie, that'll work. But you see, once you start this, how wide it really goes. It is not. Unless you choose to make it, people try to make it not cut and dry because they don't want to have to decide. What's right is right or it's not. The lady right here says what's right is right. She brings him, meaning her husband, no harm. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. Oh my gosh, Dwight, you're talking about a woman dedicated to a man and gives in all the time and does everything to suit him. So you're Solomon's mother?
No, she is a wife of noble character.
There you go.
Mother, will you stop? Let me tell this story. My dad worked for an electrification company, right? Mother worked at the hospital. She got off 30 minutes before he did. Went down the road, two gas stations on either side of the light before she crossed over the highway. She would drive home, get in the house, call my daddy and say, when you get home, you need to put gasoline in my car.
I have never, I'm standing on the Bible. I have never pumped a gallon of milk.
Electricity goes out. The VCR, the clock on the VCR is blinking. I go in the house. Mother, you going to set the VCR? Oh, your daddy will do it when he gets home.
I don't know how to do that.
He didn't want to come home. Let me ask you, when that happens, if you don't set the clock and the time changes, does it start blinking at 2 o'clock instead of noon?
Now,
oh, okay.
You know, she was always, I do the housework, he does the outside work. We work as a team. He knows his place, she knows her place, and everybody works.
And she told him where his place was. She selects wool and flax. Do you all know what flax is? Flax is the stem of, and the inside of the stem, the pithy part of a reed that they would, the Egyptians would take and make into paper, papyrus and stuff. And also, it's a lot of what they do with them as fancy cloth and stuff. Fine linen, the word linen comes from flax. So she would take wool and flax and work it with either hands. In other words, she would spin it. She would make string out of it, or it's not string, right? Well, wool or cloth material. She would do that. So you got it. It works with eager hands. She's glad she's doing it. Oh boy, I get to sit in this chair and spin out flax for 5 hours a day. Why? Not that I like it, because it's doing what's right for my family. She's like the merchant ships, bringing her food from afar. She's a business agent for the household. She goes down in the store. She gets up while it's still dark. She provides food for her family, portions for her servants, girls. Believe it or not, they did not in ancient times have Publix. So they had the town market. And the people would get there at that town market, because there was no refrigeration. That's where the fresh stuff were. And they would buy their stuff and take it home. Town market was the beginning of the conversation group. The ladies would meet there and have their conversations. And while they're picking up this fruit, that vegetable, etc., etc. Talking about how bad their kids are or something. I don't know. She gets up all dark. She provides food for her family. The portions of her servant girl. She took care of the entire family. In the TV series Downton Abbey, you found out after a couple years, I love the show, I really enjoyed watching that history, but that the people who live in the castle, the abbey, they had to take care of the needs of everybody. They had to make sure this guy had enough sheep to raise the sheep, enough hogs and stuff. They were responsible for everybody in their area. This woman was that way. She provides for the servant girls. She considers a field and she buys it. Women had the right to buy property back then? Yes, they did. Matter of fact, it's recommended here that she was in charge of that. It would have been from profits that she made and the things that she did with her life. She put it to good use. She plants, out of her earnings, she plants vineyards. She sets about to work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her task. You didn't have to go down. A while ago, I was down, but went over there where the Publix is. I walked past, was going to the Pack and Pay. There's a workout place right next to it. There's this woman, I kid you not, she's got to be middle age, somewhere between 70 and 80. And she's sitting on a machine with her feet like this, and she's going, pedal, 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 pedal. And she's got her arms going, I'd have had a heart attack in about the first 8 seconds. She was buff. I thought, lady, get you a lawnmower and go out and make a living while you're doing that. It'd been about the same amount of effort. I didn't say that, did I say that? I wouldn't want to wrestle with her. She beat somebody to death. She sees that her trading is profitable. She is a businesswoman. Her light does not go out at night. She's up after dark, taking care of business. She's concerned about what's going on in her life. In her hand, she holds a distaff. Okay, the distaff and the spindle are part of the weaving and spinning part. So she's in charge of making the cloth for her family. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. She is a social activist. Your grandmother had marks on her fence. Did you know about this? Did any of y'all live in a railroad town back in the 50s? Yeah. Hobo towns. And if a woman would feed the hobos, they would take chalk or they would make marks, certain marks, on the fences. If they had a dog, there would be a picture of a dog, these kind of things. But she would feed them because they had the dogs about that. And she cared for the poor. She cares for the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for household. She moved to Pontagorda. For all of them were clothed in scarlet. Her family wore scarlet. Scarlet is the color for kings and priests. So she took care of her family. They lived a good life, all because of her. She makes coverings for her bed. She's clothed in fine linen and purple. Now, linen, of course, comes, we said, from the flax, and the other colors come from the wool. Her husband is respected at the city gate. Now, we get to Sonny Boy here. He goes downtown at the courtyard, which is the city gate. He sits there and talks all day long to the guys. And everybody looks up to him, not because of what he does, but because of his family is well run by the woman. This oracle says. He takes seat among the elders. He's lifted up. He's a town leader. She makes linen garments and sells them. She supplies the merchants with sashes. The merchants would take them, of course, would sell them to other parts of the country. So this lady was making a profit. That's why she could buy a field. She's making a profit on what she does. She's industrious. She's clothed with strength. That may be the best line of all. Didn't say she's wearing linen, purple, gold rings. She's got dignity and strength. Because she puts to work what needs to be done. And is lifted up that way. She speaks with wisdom. How come we think, at least in the past, that most of the smart people were the guys? Maybe because they talk louder and more. I don't know. But she speaks with wisdom. She's giving it to us right now. And what she said is worth hearing. We've already talked about Solomon being the wise. Well, so is this woman as well. She watches out over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. I picture this woman being about 50, 60 years old, weighing about 109 pounds, with 0% body fat. If she's that busy all the time, her arms are strong, she's active, she's healthy, and she uses it for her benefit. Does not eat the bread of idleness. Janet, Becky's mother, has a jigsaw puzzle all the time. Did for 25, 30 years. Now, she's blind in one eye and can't see much out of the other. So she had to go to you count the size of the cuts. If it's 1,000 pieces, the size are about like this. If it's 350, they're about like this, you know. But she always, and she'd go over and sit down, or when Max was alive, they'd go over and sit down and play jigsaw puzzle. For me, it was Sukidoo. Because you didn't have to spell. Her children arise and call her blessed. Wouldn't you like to take a survey of how many kids in the country respect their parents, or anybody else for that matter, that's not their age? You can tell them to watch. Go to a restaurant. Watch a family's got 5 or 6 kids and see how those kids act around them. Usually it's when the kids get tired of sitting there or eating, then they start putting up a fuss, and even though the parents haven't quit, we're still talking with some friends or something, I gotta go, he wants to go home. And the kids will go again. These are the kids arise and call their mother blessed. Her husband also, he prays her. Guys, do you brag on your wife enough? The answer is never enough. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. And then here we go to the summation. Charm is deceptive. You've met people that could melt steel. You know, just butter's in their mouth all the time. But it may not be true. They just may talk to you. Beauty is fleeting. Would you like to have 1% of all the money spent on cosmetics in a year's time? You have foundations, and you have blushes, and you have others, and this, that, and more, and you put on $100 bottle perfume, and after that, you spray your hair down with something that would be carcinogenic. If you got on fire, you'd burn up. And I mean, okay, you disagreeing?
No,
I mean, Elizabeth Taylor was about 140 when she died. She looked like she was 20. I mean, plaster jobs. Charles.
When you get rid of the makeup industry, all you have to do is get rid of the 10 power mirrors.
10 power mirrors? I've never heard of that before, Chuck, but I can't disagree. Get rid of all the mirrors. How do I look? Look marvelous. You're just marvelous. And then 33. No. 29 and a half. 30 and a half. Charm is deceptive, beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Took that many verses to get down to the real truth of the whole story. One who loves God is the one that should be praised more than all the lookers and everything like that. Give her the reward she has earned. Let her works bring her praise at the city gate. I wonder if this was not Solomon, which you kind of doubt because it's kind of the way he went with the women, if this woman's son ever learned. Or if it was Solomon, we know that he didn't pay a whole lot of attention. Her works bring her praise at the city gate. People know a righteous woman. I love that chapter. I love it. Any Christian woman I preach a funeral for, I use Psalms 31. Proverbs 31, rather. For a Christian woman fits that motive and motif. And that's good. Any other thoughts? I got down on time. I can't believe it. Well, we're 15 seconds long, but we'll take questions.